Blog Talk Radio.
Kidnapped, was taken with lies. CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash. You forced the kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash. My kids was kidnapped. They was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me could understand what marriage is. Provided for my wife and this the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but genetics. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't caught a check? Never had a CPS, still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my life, the parents is like I got cancer for my face. See through all your bullshit lies, I be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people's shit. Breaking up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we live. Long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our rights to live, you motherfuckers, no be good. Tired, I can take you motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyers, they appointed me, never even took my call. They falsified my court string, flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, you forced the kid. Childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids were kidnapped. They was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, you forced the kid. Childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids were kidnapped. They was taken with lies. CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid. Child bring, man, this shit is all bad. My kids were kidnapped.
Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry herself to sleep, and I can't do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel or what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, waking friends and broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in a prison cell, shit that I ain't even do. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all the kids are coming home. Playing games cause they ain't know the game, I'm with the king of thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. Yes, she is for everyone, we go with what we going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain y'all feel, I feel it too. Ditches for all the complications, pushing hard to make it new. All the tricks, y'all, tell the hope, damn this one for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state. All across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids. This foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you, kidnap.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the debut episode of Assisting Pro Se Litigants. I'm your host, Raquel Okiai. My co-host is Ashraf Haroun. This is the Wing World Integrity News Network production. Our sponsor is Bobby Biesinger, Top Dog. And that intro music was Young Prize 517, Kidnapped. And I'm so glad that the music artist on that song is actually on the in the queue. So I'm going to be bringing them on right away in a couple of minutes. First, I want to just go through exactly what the purpose is for this new show, which is Assisting Pro Se Litigants. And it just so happened that the artist, Ashraf, reached out to them, let them know that we had decided to use that intro song for the intro of our program, of our new show. So I'm really excited to have them on tonight. We'll have them on in a couple of minutes. So I think what we're doing here is we're presenting to the public a means to get out of a terrible court situation that you may be in and that you are in, actually. It doesn't happen to everybody, but there is a huge amount of people suffering because they're victims in a very corrupt court system. And those are the people that we're reaching out to with this kind of proposal It's all Ashraf Haroun's research over the course of 8 years. It's a petition to the federal court that he's done himself for a trial venue, and it's called the Broken Chair Petition, loosely. And it's a long kind of process to help pro se litigants use this petition successfully in court to receive injunctive relief in their court cases where they are the victims coping and dealing with a very corrupt court system that they can't get out of, and it's purposely made that way that we have found. So that's sort of the purpose, and tonight we're going to be focusing on the issue of corruption in the legal system, the effects of family and friends, and also we're going to be talking about how hope and forgiveness is an important part of this all. So to get to the level where you can fight this corruption in the courts, in the system, pro se, and you could do it because you're armed with all of these weapons. It's a method, it's a methodology that gets you to the court on a single cause of action that cannot be defeated, that we hope so, that cannot be, or has not been defeated and has had a very successful way. But I want to go ahead and ask Ashraf to go ahead and come on and give us your just a little bit of a roundabout about what we plan on doing tonight and also in the series to come, in the programs to come.
Yes. Thank you for, you know, that introduction. I think you have a good grasp on the whole process. You know, you have a great grasp of the process, and, you know, you've done a lot of research in law yourself, and you've been in this for a while. So I would say that you're sui juris. You have the capacity to present matters in court. And I think what we're trying to come up with here is a method of describing to someone who was what I would consider the baby lamb with the broken leg. The baby lamb with the broken leg is an analogy stating that the attorneys, even your own attorney, was part of the wolf pack. And they look down upon the herd and, you know, perched up high, they see all the, you know, herd of sheep. And typically, you know, they're not going to go after any of the herd that is very strong. They go after the weak, the baby lamb, the one that doesn't know, doesn't understand, and it has a broken leg. It cannot escape. All you have to do is break the herd away from the baby lamb, put them in an isolated situation, keep them in the dark. Nobody sees what happens to them. And these people, well, their lives are turned literally upside down. There might have been someone who was either in a good situation, and when they go through this, they are broken. You know, they're left broken, alone, and afraid. You know, you're broken. They break you down. They leave you alone because they isolate you from everybody else, including your biological family and your close friends that you knew prior to the corruption. And after this happens, you are completely alone without any knowledge of what happened in the court case. And when you try to explain it to anyone, they look at you as if you are insane. They look at you like this cannot happen. What you're describing is corruption beyond our wildest belief. We don't quite believe you. We don't understand you anymore. And your biological family leaves you. They leave you, in a sense, at the worst time. And you will fight. And what you'll find is when you're fighting, you'll find other people who, because there's a sense of discernment. And when you see other people who have been subjected to the exact same thing, you'll notice that they too are exhibiting the same traits that you have, the loss of hope, the inability to forgive, the waking up in the middle of the night in sweat and not being able to forgive and wanting to do things that are unconscionable and unmentionable. This is what you're left with. And that
hope, and these things happen. You know, we've seen this corruption, this type of corruption that you're talking about, and that is the collusion between, you know, your attorney, the opposition. It could be the state. It could be your ex. And everybody is, it is the judge. It could be through complacency. It could be from willful neglect. It could be from willful suppression, rather. Whereas your attorney, it's really easy, I think, to take advantage of kids. So, you know, sometimes there's proof in your case to show that you didn't do anything wrong. And that proof is being willfully suppressed. So your attorney is not letting this proof that would exonerate you. Your attorney is keeping it off the court's record, and that's on purpose. And that would be, you know, part of the means of getting that broken chair petition done. But I wanted to just go back for a second, Ashraf, about what you said a few minutes ago about friends and family. So you kind of get like, you fall into this hole. You're the baby lamb. You're the baby lamb with the broken leg. You don't know what's going on. It's like what you saw on TV about how the courthouse is run. You know, never in a million years did you imagine it was run in the way that you've been treated in the courthouse. And it's really easy to abuse parents because they're unsuspecting. They believe the state. They believe the caseworker. So, sign here, and all I have to do is fill out, you know, do this case plan, and you know, you're going to give me my kids back? I'm going to get visitation? And they're like, yes, yes, yes. And they're just lying right to your face. You know, it becomes very frustrating. Then you have to turn around and tell your friends and family, like, yeah, that caseworker really did make it up. You know, they made this allegation against me that just simply isn't true. Yet nobody believes, you know, yet the court, my attorney, nobody wants to talk about the idea that I'm not guilty, but I've already signed the case plan. So now I've already waived my right to a dependency trial and all of these little particulars that the unsuspecting parent just simply doesn't know. You're not really supposed to know. Or you expect to go to an attorney, even a court-appointed one, you expect to get an attorney that's going to defend your rights. And then you find out that even there, you sort of have like a whole team of people against you. And now you're in this hole. Now you have now you're frustrated. You're pissed off. You're angry. You're missing your family. And your family and your friends, end up turning against you. And I did listen to the song, Brandon and Jessica, and you guys talked about the CPS kidnapping, the court profiteering, the self-dealing adoption, the foster mills. The rage and anger, you know, was displayed, and it's very real. And I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys on because I want to hear from you. I don't want to keep you on hold too long. And I want you guys to talk about how it's been for you, being a victim of this process, being separated from your kids, and getting to the point where you're music artist, and you produce this fantastic song, you know, really exposing your feelings. So I want to know how has it been for you guys, your family, your friends? Do they believe you? Do they trust you? Have they abandoned you?
I'm going to let my wife go ahead. The case begins and starts with her. I came into it later when I came home from prison. So I'll let her go ahead and start and, you know, let her tell you guys what it's been for her first off.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks, babe. Well, in the beginning, everybody was pretty disappointed in everything that had gone down. A little bit of background. I overdosed. My children were home sleeping, the younger ones, the older ones were at school. And CPS stepped in and took the kids. I got clean for 8 months. I was expecting the kids to come home. Basically, in the beginning, you really do, like you said, you believe everybody, you expect them to be helping you, you think they're on your side, that they're really there to give you that support, and you know, help you with whatever you need to reunify your family, and you're hopeful and you're expecting all of these things to happen, and you're exactly right. They set you up, they isolate you, they leave you with your whole life upside down. I had no idea what to do. I was beyond broken.
Yeah, and that's not your fault. And they, you know, and they really are supposed to be there. The good ones that are out there, and there are some good ones, they do that job. And, it's a social services operation, and it's a volunteer gig. So if you need the help and you volunteer, and they are really supposed to turn around and provide you with that help, and it's very important, unfortunate, Jessica, that you weren't provided with that help. How long have you been separated from your – it's four kids, right?
Me and Brandon have a total of six. It's like the his, okay. Hers, and ours.
Okay. How many were taken by CPS during
all
the
of
incident?
Them. They were all home.
All six.
The older ones were at school. The younger two were home sleeping. And
I see.
So
they pulled them from school.
Everyone.
Technically,
yes.
They really can't remove them from school, but did you have somebody like a grandparent or or anybody available to take care of the kids
while you went to hospital? I wasn't
You was
available
not available because you were in prison.
But my
at that
mother.
Time.
My mother was. My mother's
Which was
a
grandma.
Retired preschool teacher, yes, of 30-something
okay.
years. Never had a criminal conviction in her life. We tried to get her to step in, and CPS basically went up there, did a home study, and basically talked my mom into circles on three different occasions. My kids weren't placed with her. They were placed, my oldest two daughters, who I had physical custody of, were placed back in the same home they were molested in. When I took them from their first mother and their grandparents' home. They were placed back in that home. Mine and my wife's kids together were placed into foster care. So they split all my kids up. It wasn't about ever keeping my kids together and unifying at all.
And yeah,
so later,
that's unfortunately.
I've seen that
before in other cases where there's an available a family member, whether it's a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, grandma, grandpa, even spouse, they're quick to pick up. They're really quick to pick up, and it really is against the law.
Money.
Did they have a?
It's
can
about
I ask
the
you
money.
Something?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Did they have a court order when they picked up the kids from your home and school? Did they have a court order?
I doubt it. You know, I don't know because I wasn't home at the time. But when I came, The whole case was weird because they basically, what they did is they held my wife up in a drug court program. Like she was doing well, 8 months of solid sobriety, doing everything they asked. My kids should have been returned home.
Congratulations. That's awesome, Jessica. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
So when they
You're
basically
welcome.
Held her up till I came home from prison. Now I went back on a probation violation, had nothing to do with my kids. I was awarded sole custody of them on federal parole. So I went back when I came home. I wasn't on probation or parole. I've never had a CPS case. I had no active cases against me. I tried to fight and get my kids back. CPS kept pressing their drug court program on me. I said, look, I didn't do nothing. I'm not getting in it. Basically, we asked for services to be placed in the home when I came home. They weren't placed in the home. Me and my wife ended up relapsing due to the kids being gone. We admitted we relapsed. We got right back on track. And then after that, CPS started actually manufacturing dirty drug screens. Like, I got proof on all this. It's in court documents. It's all been in trial.
Okay,
now,
hold
so
on, hold on. Let me
ask
you something. The results from the drug screen, when you say you have proof that it was not that they fudged it, right?
Yeah.
What kind of proof do you have?
Check this out. They had us on mouth swabs at first. Well, we're still on mouth swabs. Well, I kept having dirties, and I said, I'm not dirty. I got them to switch me to urinalysis. Since I've been placed on urinalysis almost 2 years now, I've never failed another drug screen. I have, however, failed the mouth swabs that only CPS can they are the only people that get the drug screens back. Nobody else can get them, not your lawyer, nobody, only CPS. But while I'm on here, I've been able to cover myself with the urine screens. But me and my wife, I'm on a methadone maintenance program, and I'm also on,
okay, go
on
ahead.
My medical marijuana. Now, when our tests came back, they were only positive for heroin and cocaine, not the medical marijuana or the medically assisted methadone we both take. So that
and that
tells
was with
you,
the mouth swab?
Absolutely. Now, see, they can't control the urine screens because it goes through a whole different company who gets the results. They are actually changing the end results. They're not actually messing with the test. They're changing
started,
the test afterwards.
When you started, yeah. I know that they do that, and they do that.
Yeah.
And usually, so you've been involved in this for 2 years?
Well,
two
my
and
wife,
half
three
years.
U2.
Three U2.
Yeah,
and
been,
where are
been
you?
Help.
Where are they right now with your case? Are they, is there
right.
any
well,
plan for your
yeah,
reunification,
yeah, actually,
or are they planning for TPR?
Well, what happened is with our first four daughters, we had a son in the midst of all of this. They hurried up and terminated. I wasn't even out of prison for 6 months, and they terminated my rights to our four daughters. Then they made
How did
up
they
some
do
big
that? How did they do
yeah,
that?
Exactly.
While you were in prison?
They did it illegally. No, they did it. I was only home and out of prison. They terminated prematurely to take the kids into custody because it's a money game with them.
I don't know how
Well,
they would have
we
to have been a decision, like a TPR decision, after
the
hearing?
The judge
or
did it illegally. But it's getting – what happened is the same judge – we just went through this termination hearing for our son, too. We won our termination hearing in front of the same judge. Also, it came out that the CPS workers at this hearing lied in our first termination hearing. So this is all getting opened up federally. It's going to get looked into. We was able, like he talked earlier about how our attorneys didn't get nothing on record. Our court appointed in our first trial, we had no witnesses that testified on our behalf. They didn't call nobody. They never made a record for us. So we lost our termination. We lost our appeals, all of that. My kids aren't even supposed to come home. But because we got all of this brought out in my son's trial, it's opened up an appeal in front of the same judge to set aside her judgment. So we may get all of our kids back in August. Like, there is hope. If you fight against these people and you get an attorney or you can get this stuff on the record, you can fight and beat these people. The problem
if
is,
you get a good
nobody
attorney.
Ever gets – they never, yep,
if you
they
get,
never
you
get
have
anything
to,
on the
very,
record.
It, yes, you are so right.
You can't
you know,
with a court appointed. It'll never happen with a court appointed.
Like 98% of the time, that is correct. But even with the hired attorneys with CPS, it's like CPS is they have a lot
they're,
of clout, you know, with the,
uh-huh.
with the sheriff's
they
offices,
scared,
with the
they
PC.
They scared people off our case. They scared people
the
off
attorneys.
Taking mine and my wife's
yes,
case.
Yes, they do. Yeah,
we,
they
the
do
lawyer
too.
We got
a lot
now,
of trickery.
Ms. Ina O'Brien,
yeah.
She is bucking
do
these
trust
people.
Her?
She is yeah, absolutely 100%.
Okay, perfect.
She
that's good.
She's,
you need a
she
good
is
attorney.
The only one fighting for us, and she is
she's
a
the exact
and,
reason why we are getting our son back.
Yeah.
And
she makes
believe
a
in
record
August.
Of everything.
Because she puts everything on the record
on
the in
record.
The court.
Everything.
Yeah.
She's
yep.
not afraid to speak up in front of the judge to make sure
over
that record
judge,
gets made.
Whatever it is.
Not
it,
disrespectfully, it, of course, but she is definitely not afraid to speak what needs to be spoken.
It's everybody's scared to fight. Even these attorneys you can go pay. These judges, it's they kill off senators. They kill people to quiet this up. We can't guarantee that ain't nothing going to happen to us because, look, I'm not stopping until all of this is turned over. Something changes in the system. It's not even about me and my family no more. It's about everybody else because now I know these people can be beat. There's holes in their armor. They are falling apart. People just have to fight. They can't give up.
I think you're right. And sometimes people give CPS and the state a lot more power than they actually have.
A lot
of things, a lot of accusations, a lot of, you know, the snickery, the trickery that goes on, like,
mm-hmm.
outside of the courtroom, you know, they become like pros at it. You know, they know
yep.
exactly what they're doing. They build your trust, and then they take it away from you, and then they lie, and they cheat, and they beg, you know, and they get a promotion, and the
yep.
caseworkers that, you know, have more, kind of snatch more kids, they
yep.
get
it's all
promotions,
they get incentives,
they get training and all of that. You know, it really is a horrific, it really is a horrific experience to be in. I'm very sorry that you
it's
guys
horrible.
Are going through that right
look,
now.
I've been through prison, through all of it, but this is the worst. I've never been through anything worse than this.
Really, it's very really harmful to families, and it's very hurtful. You know, I'm trying to, like, get out to the public really how painful it is to have family. I mean, these parents, they love their kids. They want to take care of the kids. They got clean. They're getting better. They're doing what they have to do. Because the thing is that drug use or abuse alone is not sufficient.
It's not enough. It's not enough to take kids. It's not, even by DHS's own handbook and guidelines. But these kids are a money pot, and that's what all this
is about.
You know,
the legal threshold is a nexus. They have to show a nexus between the drug use or abuse and actual abuse and neglect of the child.
Right.
You know, and that's when it's sufficient cause to take the kids without a court order. And now you're just, you know, you guys are definitely in that hole. And Ashraf, I want you to, you know, chime in if you can before we go to break. We're going to be going to break at the bottom of the hour. Ashraf, what do you have to say to them?
Well, here's the thing. The only part of this is that, you know, finding a good attorney. You were very lucky to find a good attorney. And I think we'll have a show about that because – you know, I have done this for 8 years, and, you know, I basically sue attorneys who engaged against their client. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this, is that attorneys
awesome.
Engage against their own client. And it's sad to see, because when that happens, you don't have a fighting chance. You don't have a voice, because your attorney's voice is the only voice, and that attorney is in and conspiracy with the opposing side. So you found a good attorney, and that turned things around for you, and that's what you need. Many people cannot find a good attorney. They have to actually pick up the armor themselves and be sui juris, have the capacity to represent themselves. But, that's a whole other subject, the good attorney, which, you know, is a misnomer. It doesn't exist, but, you know, now that we did find a good attorney, maybe she can actually help. She could probably be a declaratory witness around the country in other cases. I mean, if she's willing.
I'm sure she would love to. She's trying to take stuff federally to the Supreme Court now about what is going on with, like, these court appointees being underpaid, and then they get granted – they're also granted immunity. These first lawyers that – screwed my case to hell, I can't even sue them. I can't even go after them because they're protected under immunity, under laws that CPS has made to protect these attorneys who work with them. So it's
What state are you in?
I'm in Michigan.
What state are you guys in? I'm sorry?
I'm in Michigan. I'm in Lansing, Michigan.
I had a program probably maybe like a year ago. I do a Friday night show too called Rocky and the Guns. And I had this attorney on. I thought she was from California, but she was a family court attorney practicing for a long time. And she noticed the same exact thing, that the guardian ad litem, or different states call them different things, but they are the attorneys for the children, and they absolutely work with CPS, right? And they absolutely work with CPS. Sometimes parents have to pay their fees. And the same attorney that was on my program, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but the same attorney was also talking about a bunch of attorneys, family law attorneys, filing a federal lawsuit. I wonder if it has some connection. filing a federal lawsuit that says there's not equal protection under the law.
Yes.
Because
right.
the attorneys that work with the state and they are children of the attorneys for the children. They get special preference. They're not ever held accountable to malfeasance, which is wrongdoing by
right.
the government.
Correct.
And these attorneys really have a good case. I'd be interested in if she wanted to come on our show.
I'm sure she
assisting
would.
Assisting pro se litigants. We'd love to have her as a guest. Follow
yeah,
up with you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll make sure you guys get all her contact info too.
Okay, awesome. Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and I want you guys to just have a last word about your music and maybe just some advice to the people listening.
Well, you know, when it comes down to the music, you know, I've been doing music for a long time and for all the wrong reasons, you know. I made this song to give other people hope who are going through this. So many, I mean, and it's happened all across the state. It is a business. Child trafficking, and you know the people that are going through it, you know, I just don't give up hope. If you and your significant other or whoever, you gotta stay fighting, and you just can't give up, you know.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to point out about the song, if I may, there was you know, when I listened to the song, I was mesmerized by it because it actually pointed out some very distinct things about corruption. Number one, that how they had lied about the mouth swabs, how that, you know, you had to deal with the lies in the court, how they you know, through straight corruption.
We got them lying under oath.
But the part that grabbed me was, you know, when you were sitting on the bench and you were losing hope, but you had found a way to, you know, regain that hope. And that's the part that really a lot of people who are subjected to corruption, they're already broken in many cases prior
Absolutely.
To CPS coming in, because they are picking the baby lamb with the broken leg. And that's the part where they break your hope, they break your ties to your family, they leave you broken. They leave you alone. They leave you afraid of your future for your kids. It is something that really is very hard to forgive. And I think that forgiveness is one of those things that can only come through grace. And it's the only way to break through this whole thing. And I think that what I could see from this video was that you had found the grace to find that forgiveness. And that's what gave you the hope that you can continue. And that's what is driving your success.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you 100%. If you know, that there was a point, you know, when all this happened, I was drinking myself to death. I had to check myself in to a mental health facility to get my head back right and to figure out that that's what these people were doing to me. They isolated me, cut off me from going to all program out here, sent a cease and desist letter to all my therapists that I couldn't go, banned me from CPS, the kids. They isolated me and my wife, and, you know, we had each other and we had these kids. That's what kept us fighting. There were our hope, you know, flat out.
They took away your hope, and they took away your ability to forgive. But the thing is that what I saw in the video and I saw in talking to you is that you had found the grace. And grace is something that basically you just have to give. And it's the forgiveness, basically, that allowed you to regain the hope. And I think that that's what I saw in the video, is that you had succeeded through the bond you had with your wife and the children and found a way to regain that hope. Because without the hope, it's a hopeless situation. And without the hope, you cannot fight.
You're right. You know, there's an acronym in change. It changes. It's choose hope, and new growth emerges. You know, you got to choose to be happy. I got tired of letting these people win. You know, God saved us. You want to? I gave everything to him and let him drive this car. If you really want to know, I just gave up, and I started doing everything that I, the right stuff, instead of letting them get to me. You know, I don't know exactly what it is.
That's the
way to go. I appreciate you guys having us. Thank you.
You're welcome. And do we have your permission that can we use your song for our intro music during
absolutely.
Our series?
Awesome. Absolutely.
And we'll cover your name and
give
you credit
for
it.
Cool. You guys are free. That song is for promotional use. I'm not looking for any monetary gain out of it whatsoever. It was written to raise awareness. That's it.
Cool. Thank you so much for doing your part, and I really am hoping for the best. And keep in touch with us and let us know what goes on.
Oh, absolutely.
In the next
we'll
month,
be in
especially.
Touch.
Okay.
Yeah,
God bless you all.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank
Dallas, we are ready for break time, and you're listening to Assisting Pro Se Litigants. I'm your host, Raquel Okiai. My co-host is Afram Haroon. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thanks.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world look to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do. Yeah. I watch the world flip to the dark side of the moon. After all I knew, it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then, as long as you'll be.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to debut episode of Assisting Pro Se Litigants. I'm your host, Kel Okiai, and my co-host is Ashraf Haroon. If you're listening to the program online and you want to call in, you have a question or comment, the call-in number is 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. We are Win World Integrity News Network production. Thanks, Ashraf. That was a great segment. You could really feel for these parents, and I wanted it kind of give me an opportunity to let the listeners know what is happening today in the family court system, in dependency court, that they're not really, you know, that much aware of, but it's affecting a lot of kids. It's affecting a lot of families. You know, there's a lot of media out there about immigrant families being separated at the border, yet American families, and they're being returned, by the way, because a federal judge ordered them to be returned as soon as possible. But really the problem is the American children, and it's the American families. One of the problems is it's a fatherless generation. So according to the fatherlessgeneration.com.wordpress.com statistics, 34% of U.S. children live without their biological father. That's 24 million children. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients with chemical abuse come from fatherless homes, 10 times the average. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes, 85%. That's 20 times the average. Fathers are, on average, at least children absent their biological fathers are, on average, at least 2 to 3 more times likely to be poor, to use drugs, to experience educational, health, emotional, and behavioral problems, to be victims of child abuse, and to engage in criminal behavior than their peers who live with their biological or adoptive parents. We have a breakdown of the family, and that is causing this outbreak in the child trafficking industry, because it is true that the federal government, I'm sorry, the states are making money from the federal government because of federal law that mandates it. So the state goes to Washington, D.C. every year, and they say, for instance, the state of Florida, and they say, I have X amount of kids in foster care, so you have to give me X amount of money for child protection. And the federal government gives them all that money through federal laws that permits that to happen. And then now the states are supposed to, you know, dole that money out to protect children. But it's become sort of like a game. So it's the more kids and foster, you know, ask questions later, go get the kids. But this is all really in violation of the law because parents, of course, have rights. These operators are just operating above the law. And it's really, really happening. So this is going to go back to forgiveness and hope and all that, because I just want you guys to understand that people are really suffering. Their families are being separated by these courts, whether it's in divorce matters or it's in dependency actions where the state is suing you for your custody of your kids. And you're fighting like hell and you're in a hole and you can't win. You can't get out of it, not without a good legal defense able to overcome all of these problems and stress that these things bring to you. And it's, you know, it's Ashraf, you said this earlier. I don't know if it was during the show or maybe we were having a chat about it. But families who get caught up in this system, and I'm a victim too. I was a victim too. You know, your close friends, your family, they're kind of like, well, if you have some kind of case against you with CPS, what did you do wrong? So they automatically assume You're already guilty. They make you guilty already.
The concept is, one, it's called victim blaming. It's taking the victim and blaming them because they're in this matter. So obviously they must be wrong. The other aspect of this is that, you know, when like an organization like CPS comes in, what they do is they find all the family members that are there to support you. And what they do is systematically, it's called gaslighting. Basically, it's an extreme form of defamation that is targeted at one person, and it's conducted, engaged through a conspiracy. What happens is there is a set of secret agreements that are set by the person engaging in the gaslighting, and they create maybe two or three different false statements. And they go around to everyone around you. They make sure that everyone in that circle is informed of a few key, I would call them lies, but they're more perjury. They're more involved in direct material misrepresentation. And what they do is they tell these lies to everyone, so that everyone starts talking about you as if these lies are somehow true, and therefore you lose the support of your family members if you had any prior. And then once you are alone, then, you know, it's easy to take advantage of the baby lamb with the broken leg once they are isolated from the rest of the herd. And then that way, it's just complete annihilation after that. And it's extreme gaslighting through material misrepresentation. But one thing I'd like to point out, that the most important aspect to consider is actually the willful suppression. It is not the perjury or the direct lies or the material misrepresentation or the gaslighting. All of that is circumstantial, but the real important aspect is the willful suppression. It's what should have been said and was not said that really affects your case long term. And it's very difficult for someone who's being subjected to this, does not understand willful suppression and why an attorney would not lie. Attorneys don't lie. They basically hire a guardian ad litem, a fiduciary, or someone else who is licensed to engage in the perjury. But the perjury is actually there to essentially hide, conceal, and divert from the court's attention the big gaping hole in the ground that they dug for you and they're going to throw you into. It is the elephant in the room that everybody says, I did not see the elephant, but the reality is it is so obvious to any casual observer. But that's where the gaslighting comes in. That's where they isolate your family members. They will even go through, as Brandon had pointed out, various people, they had to support them. They, if you look at their particular case, you know, everything that happened in their case is classic extrinsic fraud. And all of the other things, like when he was taking the mouth swabs and he was basically, they were fabricating the evidence on the mouth swabs. Well, that was just there to cover up the fact that they were good parents to start. The only thing is the CPS worker looked at the children and what they saw was bags of money. They saw children. Each one was a bag of money. And once they took that bag of money, then they would basically go in, cash it in for equity. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, I know it's very hard to consider that our children are being taken away, and we the court looks at them as equity, but in essence, it is equitable law because it is profiteering in the essence. And
Right, and I think, you know, in their situation, because she had an overdose with the two younger kids at home, as long as that there was another available adult, particularly a family member. So you know, Brandon said that his mom, who would be grandma to at least some of the kids, would be willing to take the kids. And usually that, by law, they're supposed to look out for family members willing to take the kids in the meantime. So mom has to go to the hospital. Mom has to get care. Mom has to get treatment for the overdose. And she needs help. And social services really, you know, they are supposed to come in and help. But the problem is that once they have removed the kids and they don't want kids with grandma, because then the money flow doesn't come in. It's not the same money flow. They got to get the kids in foster care. They got to trade them in foster care, basically. And that's where the money starts flowing from the, you know, back to D.C. And it's really federal taxpayer dollars. So we're paying for this. And so, you know, they don't do the right thing. What really should have occurred, I mean, I think she said she was clean for 6 months. She probably completed her case plan. They promise you, the world, we're going to give you back the kids, but then they keep with that extrinsic fraud. And it's, you know, still covering up the idea that they have really no intention of giving back the children. This is like a shut, closed case. They want a TPR right away. They want to sell them out. They want to, you know, within 20, you know, they have a structure set up where there's a certain time frame. So they really would like to adopt the child out like after a year. So they hit the parents really hard for a year, that slander that you were talking about, telling all your friends and family, not just telling your friends and family, but telling the court. Their colleagues, the people who are handling your case, that there are, you know, this slander, this defamation, you know, on your character, that is fabricated, you know. And like you said, there's your extrinsic fraud, because she is a baby lamb, he is a baby lamb. They both got broken legs. They're right now in the hole. Now, if the attorney, I'm so glad that they do have an attorney, which would be the best option. Can show that that fabrication, you know, at a hearing or trial level. I think they definitely have hope.
Well, you know, and it's finding a good attorney. You know, that's another thing that, you know, that caught my attention, because in doing this for 8 years, I just haven't found a good attorney. But I think, you know, recently I've come across Connie Rangel, who I believe is one of the best attorneys.
Yeah.
I've come
Tennessee
across.
Attorney.
Pardon me?
Tennessee attorney, family law attorney. She's a founder of Family Forward Project. I had her on another program that I used to host several years ago, and I had like an hour special with Connie. And we talked about her background, how she got into family law. Very, very nice lady and smart. She fights a good fight, absolutely. You know, in my own case, Ashraf, I had to I hired an attorney, fired an attorney, interviewed 7 attorneys before I found the right attorney. So it wasn't easy.
Yeah, it is. Definitely one of the things you have to have. I mean, that's why when we were talking about the broken chair petition, the broken part of the chair is that, you know, we can create the foundation. I as a declaratory witness, could provide one of the legs, but you need to provide the other legs. And this is broken because, in accordance with the evidence code, the judge is going to look for an expert witness to prove that what happened should have happened, and he wants an expert, which is a licensed person. And in this case, if you're talking about extrinsic fraud, it is finding an attorney who is willing to go against another attorney and possibly a corrupt judge and into a court.
Right.
And basically,
it's a different scenario.
License on the line.
You haven't been able to find an attorney to file the broken chair petition, because
well,
because you're I mean, you're looking for injunctive relief from, you know, that counsel, that attorney of record that deceived you, that carried on this extrinsic fraud on the court.
Yes, in a way, you're right. But the thing is that the broken chair petition does not use attorneys. It basically is a non-attorney procedure because it is forensic. And because it's forensic, you're looking at countless hours in going through all the forensic evidence and putting it into a format. The broken chair petition allows a forensic analysis in your case by three or four reasonable people because you don't have an attorney in that particular case that is willing to go into a courtroom with a corrupt judge who, now, the point being this, that anytime the judge is corrupt and is basically driving the corruption himself, will inform the attorney that if he wants to continue to practice law, then they will engage in the extrinsic fraud, the willful suppression. They could do anything they want, but stay away from the gravamen of the complaint. That part is going to be withheld from the court, and that part will cause the baby land to not succeed.
And that's the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the one critical fact. And when we go back to Brandon's case, the fact is that everything was fine. That the children should have been brought back, but then they used the drug screens. They used the dirty drug screens to basically take them.
Yeah, I'm glad that they called in. It has been a fantastic show, Ashraf. I really appreciate your time and specialty on these issues. We're going to have a great show next week. You can call in. It's the same phone number, 646-787-8638. We are assisting pro se litigants.
And the goal is to make sure that you're given the tools to survive and corrupt you.
Do you want to sing the song with me? Along. You're a musician. Do you like to sing, Ashraf?
When I like to sing, I'm a whore. I would love to sing, but
yeah.
I don't have a singing voice.
Okay. That's fair enough. I don't think I have a singing voice either, but I sing anyway. My son Robert says I have a pretty good voice. I always say I disagree with him. I think he just says that to be nice. Anyway, I did want to give an intro into that we were going to have an end song, Ashraf, but I do want to say good night. We have about, listeners, go ahead and listen to the end of the song. We're going to close it out, and we will see you all next week, same time, same place. Pro Se Litigants. Next week will be part two. What are we going to talk about again? I wrote it down somewhere. But we're going to be talking about the Razormen, the Razor.
Yes. I think Razor and the Goblin of the Crusade.
And the Goblin of the Crusade. It's going
to
be great. Okay, good night, Ashraf, and I'll
good night.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.